And then I have one final announcement to bring to your attention today, and that is that this week I received a very special letter. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul, who has been in prison now for quite some time for preaching the gospel, and it was a personal letter to me, but I also he addressed it also to the church that meets in my home. So that's you, and so I want to share this letter with you. I need to share it. I'm compelled to share it with you because although it was addressed to me and also to you, there's something that puts me in a dilemma about this. So I want to explain a little bit about the background, and then we'll read the letter together. So you remember my slave, Onesimus. He ran away about a year ago. You probably remember him. Well, he remembered how upset I was when he ran away. And not only was I upset that he ran away as my slave, but also I was even more upset to find that he had stolen a large sum of money from me. Well, I never expected to see him again, but you remember that time, and I'm ashamed of the way I acted at that time, that I was so angry and that I even made fun of him, and in your presence, you know, I talked to you about how his name, Onesimus, means benefit giver. And I remember making jokes about how he was no benefit to me anymore and how ashamed I was of that. Well, I never thought I'd see him again, but apparently he made his way to Rome on my money. And while he was there, he came in contact with our brother Paul, the apostle. And this is why Paul wrote to us today. So let me begin by reading the letter. I actually have it up here for our PowerPoint. So if you'd read it with me, that would be great. He starts out his letter by Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. And I knew right away that this was going to be a different kind of letter. The other letters he sent us always started with Paul the apostle. But this Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, I knew this was going to be something different. And I was so glad to see that Timothy is still with our brother, even though he's in prison. Timothy is such a faithful man, and I'm just glad he's there. And I wish I could be there with Paul to help him and comfort him while he's in prison. Well, it says to Philemon, that's me, our beloved fellow worker. And it's just an honor that Paul would call me a fellow worker. I just because I opened up my home to the church that he started here, he calls me a fellow worker, and it's a real privilege. And he goes on to say to Apphia, our sister, and she's sitting here in the front pew with me, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your house, and that's you all. Thanks for being here today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. And I wondered at first, well, how did he hear about that? How did he hear about me and that he would even be thankful for me, that he'd hear about my love and my faith? Well, I come to find out as I read the letter further that it's through Onesimus who ran away from me. I didn't know that when I started this letter, but you know, that's how we got to know. And again, I'm just so glad that my faith and love for Jesus are evident, and that's all to his glory. He goes on to say, and I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. And you all know, the more we share the good things that God does in our lives, and the more we share about his love to us, the more effective our outreach becomes. And Paul is just telling us that, reminding us about that. It's a good reminder. We need to hear it from him. So let's continue on in sharing our faith by sharing the good things that God does and to share about his love. So he says, for I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. And again, people, if your hearts have been refreshed through me, it's only because God has worked through me. He has blessed me with this big, beautiful house, and it's just a privilege to be able to have the church gather here every week to honor the Lord, and I'm just so honored to be used by him. And if you have been refreshed through me, I have certainly been refreshed through you. Now, the next phrase in the letter made me realize that there was something very serious at hand. Listen to what Paul said. He said, "Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake, I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man, and now a prisoner for Christ Jesus." Well, we remember in his past letters how demanding Paul can be based on his authority as an apostle. But here in this letter, he's saying, I'm not appealing to you on my authority. I'm appealing to you in love. And it breaks my heart to think of Paul being in prison. And I wish that I could care for him. And I wish that he could have the care that he needs as an old man, now that he's in prison especially. But I do remember him saying in one of his past letters how he is always content. And no matter what circumstance he's in, he has learned how to be content. He goes on to say, "I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I became in my imprisonment." Onesimus, you can imagine what I thought when I first read that. Onesimus, what is he doing there, that scoundrel? How did he get to Rome? Well, I know how he got to Rome. He got to Rome on my dime. And he probably went there to hide among all the dense population that was there. Isn't it interesting, though, how he came across the Apostle Paul? And at first I thought, well, it must be he came across him by being thrown into prison as a runaway slave. But apparently not. Apparently, he's been in touch with Paul in prison, but he himself is not in prison. But you know what? He certainly would have deserved to be in prison, wouldn't he? Running away, stealing my money, and I wish he were in prison. But somehow, he got connected with our brother Paul. But then I was equally surprised to hear that Paul called him his child. Man, what this is saying is that Onesimus has come to believe in the Lord Jesus, in his death and resurrection. And he has come to be a follower of Christ through Paul's preaching. Now, I know while he was here serving all of us through the many times that he was a slave while we gathered here, I know he heard the gospel over and over, but he never responded to it here. But somehow, Paul gave him the gospel, and he accepted it. I guess he was no match for Paul, but who is, right? Who is? And we know how the Holy Spirit uses Paul to break through the hardest of hearts. So, kind of an amazing thing, isn't it? That Onesimus would have become a believer while he was away from us meeting here in my house. Well, you can imagine my shame when I read the next line. "Formerly he was useless to you, but now indeed useful to you and me." And again, that's just a play on words. His name meaning useful or beneficial. And Paul saying he was useless to me while he's a runaway. But now he's become useful to Paul. Apparently he's helping Paul while he's in prison. But at this point, I put the letter down. When I first read it, I just had to put it down. I had so many mixed emotions. I was angry all over again about Onesimus running away and how he still owes me years of service and a lot of money. I never mistreated him. He had no right to leave, and he just made things worse for himself when he ran away. At the same time, I did feel a gladness to think that Onesimus became a Christian. How amazing God's grace is. How amazing his grace is to reach to all of us. And I remember in one of Paul's past letters that he wrote, how he said, "There is no Greek, no Jew, no slave or free, no male or female, but we are all one in Christ. Christ's grace reaches all people, even Onesimus, even my former slave who ran away." I was torn in my feelings, and it became difficult for me, even more difficult as I read this. "I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. Well, this was very troublesome to me. First of all, they must have a special relationship. How can he call Onesimus my very heart? They must be in close contact with each other while Paul is in prison. And I'm glad for that because really I want to be there. I am the one who wants to be there to help Paul, but I can't be. But my word, you know, he says, I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment in the gospel. Paul knows I'd love to be there, but you know, with my job and all, I can't. I just can't be there to help him. But he's right when he says that Onesimus is representing me, and I'm glad that he can be there. So I began to think, well, as long as Onesimus is serving somebody, at least he's still a slave. Maybe that's what I ought to do, you know, because I really have been wanting to help Paul, and Paul really needs help. And well, since I can't be there, and Onesimus still owes me years of slavery, well, maybe I should just leave him there. I think that's what I'll do. I'll leave Onesimus there to serve Paul. He's still a slave. Justice is done. And I'm getting to help Paul like I want to do. At least that's what I thought. That's what I thought. But then I read this. Paul says, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Well, then I realized, Paul doesn't really want to keep Onesimus for himself. He wants me to take Onesimus back. Now, you all know that I have the right to demand his death. We have seen plenty of crucifixions of runaway slaves around here, right? So I could certainly demand his death. And there was a time that I thought I would if I ever found him. But I guess in my heart, I had come to the place where I thought, well, if Onesimus comes back, I will take him back as a slave. I'll let him continue to serve in my house. I won't punish him. He can continue to serve here, but I will brand him. So that if he ever were to do it again, anybody who found him would know that he was my slave and they'd bring him back to me. Then I don't know what I would do after that. That's what I planned to do. But here's the dilemma. Paul wants me to take him back, not as a slave, but as a brother in our fellowship here. I'd rather Paul just keep him. That would be way easier. And I don't know if I can take him back. I mean, if Paul were to command me to do it, I would do it reluctantly. But instead, he's asking me to do it on my own accord and without compulsion. And I don't know if I can do it. I guess I do agree with Paul that God, you know, didn't just use the circumstances to bring Onesimus to salvation, but actually orchestrated this whole thing. He said that God probably took him away from me so that he could get saved and then come back. It's certainly no coincidence in a few ways. First, that Paul got to preach the gospel to him, but also that Paul had legal obligation to return him to me since he found him. So, well, maybe that's just it. Maybe God wants justice to be served here. Why else would he have been caught? I mean, we know from the scriptures that sin deserves punishment and that I certainly have a legal right to punish him. And, you know, if I were to free him, that would be a huge financial loss to me. I don't want that. And not only that, I think it'd be a bad example to the rest of the slaves. Well, they would all of you slave owners would have slave uprising on your hands if I let Onesimus go. On the other hand, I do know that I have been forgiven of things that I did, and I certainly didn't deserve to be forgiven. I know that the Holy Spirit wouldn't ask me to do something that wasn't right, and I'm just very confused about all this. I'm not sure what to do. Well, you remember how Paul started out the letter by calling me a fellow servant. So he goes on here, and he says, so if you consider me a partner, meaning a fellow servant with him, he says, receive him, receive Onesimus, as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all, or owes you anything, and he sure does, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. To say nothing of your owing me even your very self. Very funny, Paul. Very funny. Yes, you know, again, my reaction to this is, Paul, you're out of your mind. Onesimus stole a lot of money to me. He should pay back four times what he stole. That's the law. But when I realized that Paul is offering to pay it back himself, I realized he's just following the example of Jesus, who paid your debt and mine. And I do owe Paul my life. If Paul hadn't have come to this town and preached the gospel, I wouldn't have been saved. I wouldn't have opened my home for all of you to come here and worship him, worship the Lord. So he is my spiritual father. And if he's my spiritual father and he's Onesimus's spiritual father, well, that makes Onesimus my spiritual brother. Not to mention that Jesus himself calls us brothers as well. I just don't know what to do. Then Paul goes and presses a little harder and says, yes, brother, I want some profit from you in the Lord. And that word there, profit, is the same word as Onesimus, benefit. It says, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart, just like you refresh the hearts of all the saints. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Wow. Wow. I don't know what to do. Well, he goes on to end the letter by saying that he hopes to be out of prison soon and he hopes to come to visit us. And I'm so excited for Paul. I can't wait for Paul to come back, but you realize the pressure that puts on me, right? If Paul comes back here and I haven't settled this issue, well, there's a little bit of pressure, and I want to get that settled. So here it is in a nutshell. Onesimus, my slave, ran away from me. God arranged it so that he would come in contact with Paul. Paul had the legal obligation to return Onesimus to me. And although I have the right to hold Onesimus responsible, am I willing to take him back and restore him to my household, not as a slave, but as a brother? See, I thought just taking him back as a slave would be forgiveness. But Paul is asking me to forgive him to the point of taking him back as a brother. That's a huge sacrifice on my part. He wants me to give Onesimus freedom. He wants me to accept Onesimus as a brother and allow him to worship here in our fellowship as a brother. Well, is that what forgiveness is? Does forgiveness really mean I must sacrifice my rights? Does it really mean that I should absolve my offender from his due punishment? Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that if that's what God is asking me to do, I can't do it. I can't do it. Not on my own. I need you to help me, and I need the Holy Spirit to work in my heart. So now I'm going to ask you for your response. What do you think I should do? Do I take him back? Do I punish him? What do I do? Talk to me, people. Help me out. What do you think?
I think you don't have a choice.
Why? I don't have a choice. Why don't I have a choice? Yeah, Paul did say he was putting the pressure on, that's for sure. He did. But I don't know. Should I? Anybody else? Other opinions here? What do you think the Lord would want me to do?
Forgive him?
I thought I was forgiving him by just taking him back as a slave. Total forgiveness. Well, I have a surprise for you. I suppose you were wondering, since we don't really have a mail system here in first century Rome, I suppose you were wondering how I got that letter. Well, don't you know that Paul actually sent that letter with Onesimus himself? Onesimus, would you come up here, please? So here's Onesimus. You remember him, how he served you when you would come in. And Paul actually sent him here, so my decision needs to be now. One last time, what do you think I should do? Forgive him? Onesimus, Onesimus, I forgive you. And not only do I release you from these chains today as my slave, but I release you from the bitterness I have held against you. And I want to welcome you now as my brother, no longer as a slave, but as my brother and as a brother here in this fellowship. Brothers and sisters, will you accept him? Welcome, brother. Thank you. You may have a seat, Onesimus. And now what about you? Is there someone who has stolen from you? Maybe stolen your rights? Or stolen your peace? Maybe somebody who's stolen your reputation or your joy? If the Holy Spirit is asking me to forgive Onesimus because he stole himself from me and he stole money from me, and to welcome him back, maybe this morning the Lord is asking you to release someone not only from their chains, but from your bitterness. Will you forgive this morning? We're going to close by singing a great hymn. A great hymn, glory to his name. And as we sing, if you'd like to come forward, we don't have the kneeling rails up today because of communion, but if you'd like to come forward and sit in one of the front pews, somebody would love to pray with you. If there's somebody you need to forgive, just come forward and pray about that and just put it before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not, even if you're not ready yet, but just tell him you're not ready, that you want him to work in your heart.